Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, August 30th. Colorado has 8 agricultural research stations that experiment with ways to improve crops and production. For KVNF News, Jody Peterson reports on the reopening of the Rogers Mesa station, which focuses on organic farming.
Farmers and ranchers on the Western Slope have a vital resource, the Organic Research Station at Rogers Mesa. Yesterday, the station celebrated its official rededication as the only such facility in Colorado that focuses solely on organic agriculture. Located west of Hotchkiss, the 85-acre research station is operated by Colorado State University. It conducts research in organic agricultural practices with an emphasis on fruit trees, grapevines, and organic seed production. The station first opened in 1961, but then closed in 2011 due to budget cuts. Recognizing its importance to Western Slope agriculture and agritourism, Delta County commissioners, community groups, and State Representative Millie Hamner worked with CSU to get the station reopened. Delta County Commissioner Don Supas was on hand for the reopening yesterday.
This has been a stronghold here on Rogers Mesa for as long as I can remember. When I drive by up here and I see activity up here, I see what's going on, it makes my heart happy because this truly is a part of Delta County.
The Organic Agriculture Research Station, called ORS for short, is managed by Dr. Frank Stoniker. He described the work that will go on at the facility, including efforts to adapt crops to climate change.
Our objective here is pretty simple. It's to improve the lot of farmers, to keep a close eye on how we do it, to make it sustainable. We've embarked on research that will evaluate fruit trees that may be more resilient in climate change. Additionally, we have a community of organic seed growers in our midst, and there's a strong market for organic seeds around the country. So we hope to build this alliance and identify regionally adapted crops that will help growers succeed in this enterprise. Finally, we've opened our doors to the community and hope that ORS will become a center for dialogue and creativity and good science.
ORS will offer field days and short courses to help local growers learn about ways to improve organic agriculture. Research will focus on solving immediate problems as well as the long-term issues facing growers. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
The final Friday of August brings high school football back underneath the lights. Some of the teams from schools on the Western Slope start play tonight. The game of the week is in Montrose, where the 4A Indians entertain Grand Junction Central tonight in Montrose at 7 p.m. Head coach Brett Mertens and the Indians will look to repeat last year's success when they finished 11-2 and made it to the state semifinal playoff game. Meanwhile, first-year head coach and Central alumnus Brandon Milholland brings in a Warriors team that finished 7-4 and made the 4A playoffs last year. Also playing tonight are the Olathe Pirates. Veteran head coach Ryan Korn brings back a squad that finished 5-4 last year and 3-2 in the 1A Western Slope League. Olathe opens the campaign on the road at Coleridge at 7 p.m. Another 1A Western Slope League team, Hotchkiss, is scheduled to play tonight at home against Meeker at 7 p.m. The Cowboys will bookend the season for Hotchkiss, as the Bulldogs will play Meeker, one of the consistently best teams in the state every year, in their first and last contests. Fourth-year Bulldogs head coach Curtis Hintz spoke with KVNF News and talked about facing the Cowboys twice in the same season, and he previewed his expectations as the season starts.
You know, Meeker is a well-established 1A program, and that's a credit to Coach Phelan, and it's a good test for our boys. You know, this is my fourth year as the head coach, kind of took over with these seniors when they were freshmen. They were year one with me and kind of grew with them, and I think we've been building towards this year, and what better test than to go up against the best to see where you're at, you know, and the kids are excited, I'm excited to see where we're at. We had a good summer. We went to Western State's team camp and did some good things there, got to see some pretty solid teams over there, and you know, we're just looking forward to the challenge. And like I said, what better way to start the season off, but then against one of the best. The kids bought into the process and working hard, and also just being in the same system. You know, you're able to install things a little bit quicker. And then also having that veteran crew that has played a lot of varsity competitions. You know, I've had a handful of these seniors that this will be the third year that they're starting. You know, I've got 9 seniors out, and I got 11 juniors out. And, you know, those are good numbers in those upper classes to go and compete on Friday nights, and got a solid group of sophomores that are also going to contribute. I think just the kids knowing the system, playing in it for year after year, you're able to install a little bit quicker and do a little bit more earlier. And, you know, we're excited for the kickoff of the season, and I know the kids are excited, and the coaching staff is as well.
All of the other listening area teams have their first games a week from today, on September 6th. In Delta, the 2A Panthers lost in the first round of the playoffs last year and returned most of the players from that team. Ben Johnson coaches on Delta's sideline for the 11th season and has an experienced, deep team to work with this year. The Panthers' first game is at home against Thornton. The 1A Cedar Edge Bruins will be led by first-year head coach Craig Cerise, who replaced Brandon Milholland. Cedar Edge opens on the road at Steamboat Springs. And the 1A Paonia Eagles will look to make the playoffs for the 7th consecutive season. They will do it with their third head coach in 4 years, as first-year man Eric Neal takes over the sideline. Paonia will face number 4-ranked Centauri on the road a week from tonight. And stay tuned to KVNF News for more high school sports coverage as the fall season gets underway. And finally today, from the Denver Post, voters are going to get to have the final say on whether Colorado should give all 9 of the state's Electoral College votes to the winner of the national popular vote for president. The Colorado Secretary of State's office certified Thursday that opponents of the state joining the National Popular Vote Compact collected enough valid signatures to put the issue on the ballot in November of 2020. And it's unusual. The last time a challenge of a law went on the ballot was in 1932, after the legislature passed a tax on oleomargarine. According to the Secretary of State's office, the tax was overturned by Colorado voters. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, August 30th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.